Belly bitter.
Yeah. Not going to bitter. Amen, brother.
We ought to stop just a minute, at least to expound some on the word belly. This word means spirit.
That.
Mm-hmm. Or means womb.
Mm-hmm. There you go. There you go. That's right, life.
Well. I'm a man.
Come on.
What kind of man has a womb?
Come on, brother. Come on, brother.
Well, it is several different definitions.
Amen.
Take it, eat it. It shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey.
There you go.
And I took the little book. And I ate it up.
There you go.
That should be the testimony
right,
of every child of God.
Amen, brother. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's the truth. That's the truth.
You ought to spend time every day of your life consuming the Word of God.
Amen. 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 Bless you, God. Bless you, God.
It was sweet in my mouth.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings.
Amen, brother.
May God anoint me and you to hear.
Amen, brother.
What thus saith God,
amen.
As you have to say,
amen.
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 You may be seated. Just last week was the first time in over a month and a half I've been able to stand. And I won't stand very long tonight. But I found out I can preach the same sitting in a chair as I do standing. And I found out you can still preach the gospel when you can't walk. If you will hide the Word of God in your heart, it will just flow. Thanks be unto God. In Revelation chapter 10, for you that are not so knowledgeable of the book, that's the splitting of half the book. It starts out in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19. The Lord speaks to John and said, write the things which were, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The past tense of the book is Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. I am he that was dead, but I am alive forevermore. He's not ever going to die again. He died once, bearing our sin in his body on the tree, and rose again the third day, triumphant over sin, death, and the grave. Amen. And justifies you and I.
Amen. Amen.
Glory.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Thank God.
Right.
I've been justified.
Brother, come on, brother, come on.
That word simply means as though I have never committed sin. I'm justified by grace through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1, the latter portion of the chapter, chapter 2, and chapter 3. Is the present tense.
Right, brother, that's right.
Past tense.
Right.
That's Calvary.
Yeah.
Present tense, right under the seven churches of Asia Minor. I want you to be sure that you understand I'm talking to a church on the earth. Revelations chapter 4 and chapter 5 begins with the hereafter. Anybody that tries to put the church or somebody or somewhere in that book beyond chapter 5 is wrong. Chapter 6 opens up with the revelation of the man of sin. He's got a white horse. He's got a bow. He goes forth to conquer and be conquered. Hallelujah. Let him shoot all his arrow he wants to shoot. He can't touch the holy. Hallelujah. I run over a multitude of preaching in chapter 4 and 5. Chapter 4 opens with the voice that sounds a trumpet saying, come up hither. That's a rapture. I'm leaving this planet by way of rapture. I'm not calling myself. He's going to call his church that he purchased with his blood, redeemed us. He's going to call us home. My question to you is, are you ready? When an hour when you think not, behold, the Son of Man doth come. He's coming. He's coming. He is coming. Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Things are revealed in chapter 4, but brings us to the chapter 5. He said a search was made in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth, looking for a man that is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And John said, I began to weep because no man was found worthy. But one of the elders said to me, I said to John, then weep not. The Lamb hath prevailed to take the book and to loose the seal thereof. I saw it were as it were a lamb slain from the foundations of the world. And he came up to the throne and spoke to the Ancient of Days sitting on the throne and said, hand me that book. There wasn't no argument. The Father simply handed him the book. And I immediately saw a multitude that no man could number, standing on the sea of glass, lifting their voices in praise of Jesus Christ. Worthy is the Lamb that hath redeemed us out of every nation and every kingdom by his blood. Thank the God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood washes away all sin. Keep poking around there for Sister Tubman. Push that wheelchair around.
Come on, brother. Come on.
Bless it, God.
Thank you, God.
Thank you.
Bless it.
Bless you.
Bless it.
Now, Noah's problem about me in this wheelchair, because I'm liable to take off with the wheelchair. Nobody would laugh because Brother Bobby Carton is not here. He run off platform of Bobby Carton. He might help you up, but he's going to be laughing. So in the latter portion of the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, I saw a multitude no man could number standing on the sea of glass and worshiping Jesus Christ. Holy, holy, holy. He doth have the right to rule and reign and issue vengeance upon the earth, upon the ungodly. Opening the sixth chapter comes the man of sin.
Come on, brother.
He got a bow. He got the arrow.
Come on.
But he's short-lived. He's going to make his debut. It's coming. I'm so glad that you and I haven't been appointed under wrath but to obtain mercy. I am not by the blood of the Christ Jesus been appointed to the tribulation period. But there will be tribulation, saints.
Yes,
that's right.
Blessing God.
The 144,000, 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes of Israel, young Jewish men that never knew a woman.
Come on,
man, that's going to be a miracle in itself. And again, 144,000 young Jewish men that have never laid with a woman. Single. Their eye on the Lord Jesus Christ. They're sealed with the seal of righteousness. And then the Bible said there's a multitude of saints come out of the tribulation. Somebody told me, he said, there ain't nobody going to get saved after the rapture of the church. I said, you ought to talk to God about that. He said he was going to save them to the end.
What'd you say, brother?
Not giving you a license to sin.
No, sir.
And to wait
for
some time after the rapture with a burniest view, I get saved then. You sit around here. This sweet Holy Ghost touching your life. You out responding to him, you ain't going to respond then. Somebody said, Brother Talbert, what do you reckon the difference between the tribulation saints and the blood-bought saints of God that go by way of rapture? I said, it's quite simple. The tribulation saints, they're going to get to heaven toting their head under their arm. Well, just bad news. Revelation chapter 8 and chapter 9 are the beginning, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period.
That's right.
Well, I won't be here, but I have the command to preach the revelation given by the Lord in the 10th chapter.
Amen, brother. Come on.
Warn.
Now,
get your life right. Get your sin underneath the blood of Jesus. Jesus is coming. And you have an invitation. Brother Hudson sing that song. That wedding invitation. I'm telling you, there is an invitation being extended to every human being on this planet right now. The Lord has not consigned anybody to hell. But if you go there, and multitudes will, they'll go there by their own choice. Then there comes to the 10th chapter. And the Bible said, an angel steps out of heaven.
Come on, brother.
And stands with 1 foot on the sea and 1 foot on the land and lifts his hand towards heaven and declares that time shall be no more. And 7 thunders thundered. And the angel said to John, don't write what they thundered. Now we would say no man has told anything about what they had thundered. John heard what they said. But God should so trust John that the Lord said, keep it quiet. Now, only as a thought, have you ever prayed through on a certain situation and God dealt with you and gave you the revelation, but spoke to you, keep it under your hat?
That's it, brother.
Well, I like the way y'all shout. That angel standing 1 foot on the sea and 1 foot on the land, hand raised toward heaven, declared that time shall be no more. 7 thunders thundered. And the angel received a command, don't tell what the thunders said. But then immediately it said, but he had in his hand a book. And an open book. A book means if it's open, I can read it.
That's right.
And it's repeated 2 more times in the 10th chapter. That book is open. And what's recorded in that book, we have a commandment. Tell it everywhere you go. For kings, priests, every nation, tell it. It is time for you and I to arise, to we would heed the warning and heed and cry aloud. Set your affections on things above, out of the world, draw nigh unto God. There's dark days just ahead. Dark days. How dark? Darker than any time in human history.
Amen.
Events are going to transpire on this earth.
Yes, sir. Definitely. Right.
Right. And we're in the beginning of sorrows now.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Just throwing it out there. I got real concerned about President Trump. I praise God for him.
How you think, brother?
But he's headed down a bad path. Trump is not going to save America nor the world. There is only one Savior, as Jesus Christ. All else are false saviors. Thank God for Mr. Trump and whatever he's doing right. But he is not my Savior. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And only he, only Jesus saves.
Thank you, Lord.
Well,
thank you, Lord.
You know, sometimes you feel like you hit a sore spot. I am not preaching the destruction of America or the trumpet and his presidency. I'm praying God help him.
Amen.
Democracy will not rule the world. The old republic of these United States will not be set ahead of nations. Only one's going to set ahead of nations. His name is Jesus. He is going to rule and reign. He is going to rule and reign. Now, in the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation, not the 8th chapter, the 8th verse of the 10th chapter, there is something stated concerning the Word having free course in human spirit. He said the Word would be sweet to the mouth, but bitter to the belly. Do you realize that the most popular evangelical church services right now worldwide is prophecy conferences? Prophecy conferences. Everybody wants to know. But the prophecy conferences are not producing righteousness from the hearts of the people who hear the prophecy. They get all excited. One fella told me he got goosebumps. As though that was a sign of how spiritual it was. But I went to up here, Nashville, to that show they got summer or winter time. Got an ice show, just ice. And when you got there, even though I carried my coat, they told me my coat wasn't big enough, and they passed out everybody a big jacket with fur on it. And I like to have froze to death. What did I say? I got goosebumps. That didn't mean it was spiritual.
Praise God.
Amen. Yeah, but it's all about it. All
about it. Amen. Come on. We had carried my 90-year-old grandmother.
Oh, Lord.
She got goosebumps. And halfway through the presentation, she said, I've had all this I can see. I'm ready to go outside. Stand in the wintertime outdoors. But it wasn't as near as cold in that building.
Come on.
I'm amazed at what people get enthused over. It seems like that we become a very superstitious people. We are easily influenced by this feeling or that feeling. And listen to me. I'm a Christian. And I do like feelings. The right kind. I like it when you get in church and the Spirit of God begins to move. Me and Brother Bobby Carney, we've been to somewhere in Oklahoma to Assembly of God, whatever they call it, they had once a year, once every 4 years. It was we went there, and I've never seen so much pump. We come back on some interstate coming toward Dallas, Texas, and we went by a little sign, little marquee offside the interstate, and said, the next exit, camp meeting. That's all it said.
Come on.
And Brother Bobby said, we ought to go to that. I had my wife, my two kids. We were out driving in a little Nissan Sentra car.
Oh, Lord.
And she was having to sit on the hump on the back seat, 8 months pregnant.
Praise the Lord.
But it didn't take much enticing. I didn't inquire whether Sister Tara wanted to go or not. I just turned next exit, followed the sign. We arrived 13 people under that tent.
Come on, brother.
But we had increased the attendance. I had three in the car. They never got out. Me and Bobby got out. And we'd walk under that tent,
come on,
sat down at the back, plenty of room.
Amen.
They was up there shouting around. I never felt anything.
Come on, right, brother. That's that. Amen, brother. That's that. I've been there.
But Brother Bobby,
oh, God,
he got to worship.
Uh-huh.
Do you know that when you began to worship,
come on, brother. Come on, brother.
Amen.
Right now.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen. Bless it, God.
That it comes upon you.
Amen.
And it came upon him.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
And he can't shout by himself. We're in this big tent. Must have been 300 chairs. My wife is 8 months pregnant. And my little kids are sitting in the car outside. And Brother Bobby got up and shouted. He shouted around a little while. And he reached down and caught a hold of me. He slid me around. I mean, we were do-si-do-ing.
Amen, brother. Amen,
look to the back of the tent, and I see Judy. I look to the front. There old brother Matt Waters was. He's grinning and grinning and grinning. We kicked over 15 or 20 of his chairs. He cleaned the spot out. We were going down the road after that. And Brother Bobby said, "My, wasn't that rich?" I said, "In what fashion was that rich?" He said, "Man, that's the greatest I felt God. We've been to the General Council of the Assemblies of God. We didn't feel a thing. Here down here, we outside of Dallas, we stopped at a little camp meeting in a little tent." And I said, "And you kicked 15 chairs over. And don't see it old me and throw me around and around and around." I said, "The next time you're going to shout, you get by yourself. Get off to the corner somewhere." Isn't it amazing how some people can be moved of God,
yes, sir. Yes, sir, brother.
And somebody sitting one shoulder length away from them never get touched? I want to be that one that gets touched. There was a little woman, she was simple minded, borderline, and whatever you. It's bad. And she come with me. I preached one night, and she come up and got a hold of me. She's weeping. She said, Brother Talbot, you are touched." I heard that for 2 weeks. Judy said, "I figured you out. That lady discerned you. You are touched." I'm telling you, though, the reality of Christ, a relationship up to date. I prayed before the church service. I prayed this morning. I read chapter after chapter the day.
Come on, brother.
You've got to feed that spirit. You can go to a prophecy conference.
Come on, brother. Come on.
You can ooh and ah with all that's done.
Come on.
And it go no further than that.
That's right.
And just a ooh and ah.
Come on.
Amen.
But God wants you to go far deeper than the ooh and ah. He wants you and I to be filled, to overflow, to be able to stand and tell the good news. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is coming. Get your house in order. Get your life under the blood. Jesus is coming. So now in the 10th chapter, it's gone from an angel having the book. Till John coming up to the angel. And John said to the angel, "Give me the book." Sometimes it escapes us to realize God has given His Word. That whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, He has given His Word.
Amen. Come on. Amen. Come on. Amen.
excited, brother. Amen.
Ah, just
glory.
Yes,
amen. Woo, yes.
He gave him the book. The angel did. Gave John the book. And the exhortation was, it's not enough to have the book open. You got to eat it. The angel said, eat it. Every bit. He don't know nothing about this charismatic crew. That nitpicks the Bible. Group after group.
Amen.
They pick the part they want, they like, and they reject or ignore the rest.
Come on.
I know. We don't have the leeway.
Come on, sir.
To just keep a little bit we like.
Come on, that's right.
The sweet part.
Come on.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Let's consume it all.
Amen, brother.
There are times of intercession. Weeping, crying, pleading, seeking God for the welfare of our eternal souls or our state. John took the book with it being opened, and he took the command of the angel, eat it. You should I hear I'm having a difficulty with the stroke results. I don't have no difficulty with the reading of the Word of God. Every day. I don't only read it to get a message when I'm going to go preach. As a matter of fact, since I got snake bit and stroke and all kinds of complications, I get very few invitations to go preach anywhere. I'm happy.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother.
I'm happy that I'm born again.
Amen.
I'm happy that the Lord still says to me, eat the book. And every now and then, the book comes alive. And I enter into the calling of John. He said, testify. Speak to kings, kingdoms, nations, until the end. Keep preaching the Word of God. Be instant in season and out of season. The time has come. The enduring sound doctrine is of none existence.
You're right, brother.
There's a church opened up right down the road from my house. They tell me they're running almost 500. I know one of the boys going down there. I said, I'll go to church with you one Sunday. Being I've got a lot of free time. And he said to me, oh, Brother Talbot, you can't go to church with me. I said, what kind of church are you going to that a man can't go to? He said, I'm telling you, Brother Talbot, I know what you stand for.
Come on now.
And I know you won't like what's going on at that church.
Come on.
And he said, you probably want to stand up and exhort them at that church what's missing.
Come on, brother. Come on.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Come on, brother.
I said to him, do you know what's missing?
Come on, brother. There you go. Come on. There you go. That's right. Jesus.
Right.
He said, I know.
Come on. There you go.
My Lord and God, help us. We would submit ourselves wholly, completely to what is not truthful.
Come on, brother.
Something is bad wrong. Big banners all around the front of the building advocating Bible study, prophecy study. What good is it to study a prophecy?
Come on.
And not ever come to understand the spirit of prophecy is Jesus.
Amen, brother.
It becomes something that tickles
the
intellect and never touches the spirit. Right down the road from that church, running almost 500, they just opened another one of the same brand.
Come on.
And you can ride through the city of Milton on a Sunday morning and look at them. They're packing out the building. I'm telling you, they ain't wearing enough clothes to make leggings for a mockingbird.
Preach, brother, preach.
I'm not going to be as bold as Sister Debbie is. I understand that I am an old fogey according to modern statistics. I believe in being born again. I believe you've been born again. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become brand new. I believe and experience sanctification. I believe and have experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the physical evidence of speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I believe in holy living.
Amen.
I believe that God separates us from the world unto Himself. I believe that He has a church without spot or blemish. And I believe that He is the ongoing work of grace in my life.
Amen, brother.
I believe that when He appears, it does not yet appear what He shall be as, but we do know that when He doth appear, we shall be changed to be as He is. In other words, there's still room for change.
Amen.
And in order to get into that godly heaven, the change has got to take place on the earth. So in Revelation chapter 10, we're at the middle of the tribulation period. The church has been gone for 3.5 years.
That's
And it has been horrible. At 3.5 years, somebody said, well, that won't be too bad a time. Have you not read 8th chapter and the 9th chapter? Times such as mankind has never encountered before, and it's only going to get worse. When John consumed the little book, the first verse of chapter 11 opens up with silence in heaven. In other words, the view of the earth is so horrifying that they just look on it. I said, well, you ought not be painting such a bleak, black picture. Maybe you haven't heard God even say what I said. I am not going to be here for that. I've been redeemed. I've been saved from the wrath to come. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. But I got to preach what's going to happen to them that need it saved now.
Amen.
The 11th chapter, they get through their silent period for 30 minutes in heaven. Imagine that. In heaven. Angels have sang. Seraphims have serenaded. Heaven's been active. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the tribulation period on the earth, silence in heaven. And lo and behold, on the earth, two prophesying witnesses appeared. Oh, I'm telling you. They're not your ordinary little sermonette on a Sunday morning. They come calling fire down from heaven. They set prophecy almost 3.5 years. They prophesy in the city of Jerusalem. Man, they're having a time.
Amen, brother.
The world's not. Have you ever noticed, as a child of God, if you get invited to a family reunion or something of that nature, that you become a damper? I got where I just stay home. I send Judy over. I enjoy when she comes back because she always brings me a hamburger.
Amen, brother.
So I get to eat the fruit and the fellowship without all that. I got kinfolk that purposely strive to embarrass me.
Number six, fearful, ungodly. Number, amen.
Well, you ain't got kinfolk like I started to.
Come on,
they will purposely say things to purposely try to embarrass you. I got a counter to all that. Every time they say something, I say, isn't it wonderful that 1981 the blood of Jesus failed.
Come on, brother.
And I got redeemed. What sin are you talking about? It's gone. It's underneath the blood. I ain't the same man that I used to be. I've been redeemed. That two prophesying witnesses, and they tell it like it is.
Yes, sir,
they calling fire down from heaven.
Yes, sir.
And lo and behold, that Antichrist crowd finally gets the strong hand over the two prophesied witnesses and kill them.
That's right.
And the inhabitants of the earth, apparently they viewed it by satellite. Internet. They exchanged gifts and celebrations. That they that tormented us, only hope they had for eternal life, they shut the door. In 3.5 days, they let their dead bodies lay in the street. But lo and behold, on 3.5 days, in the middle of a half day, a voice speaks from heaven. It says, come up hither. Hallelujah. That same voice said, come up hither to our New Testament church. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Let me know that God's purpose is the going to have the final say.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. Final word.
Amen. Lo and behold, the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation opened with a woman. Clothed with the sun, the moon at her feet, 12 stars, a crown on her head.
That's right.
Orthodox Israel.
There you go.
And she's heavy with child.
Right,
and the false prophet and the beast and all the crooked crowd are waiting to destroy that child. And she was delivered.
Take it away.
And the man child was called up under the throne of God.
There you go. Yeah.
Amen. Untouchable.
Amen.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Why all of the dialogue about all the events happening after the rapture? Why even talk about it? For them that are not ready to get ready, get your sins underneath the blood. Live for Jesus.
Amen.
Glory. 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 For the word of God has been opened. I set before you an open door. No man can close that door. You have opportunity to enter in to the things of your God and enjoy the blessings of God's people. You have an invitation. Will you respond? Or will you turn away? Will you bow your head? Will you humble your heart? Will you allow the Almighty God to discharge all your sin? I have given my life to redeem you. I rose from the dead for your justification. I am on the way. I am coming. I am coming. I am coming, said the Lord. And to them that love my appearing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. If you ever notice in Revelation chapter 15 through to Revelation chapter 18, God is pouring out his wrath on false religion. Mystery Babylon.
That's that.
Revelation 19. Again, it's a heavenly scene. Somebody shouting hallelujah. They shout hallelujah five times. And John interrupted. He said, what are they shouting about? Five hallelujahs. Hallelujah. 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 One of the elders said to John, don't you know? Because the Lamb's wife, the bride, has made herself ready. I'm telling you, we're going to enjoy eternity with Almighty God. We are the redeemed. Hallelujah. And you can get your shouting shoes on in the 19th chapter because you're going to kick the devil in the 20th chapter. I saw a little angel. And a little devil, not a capital A. It isn't an archangel. Just an angel.
That's right.
Peered out of heaven with a chain and a binder. And he, a little angel, laid hold of that old serpent, the dragon, the devil, Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Cast him into the... I'm telling you, I can't find us being defeated anywhere through the book. The church of the living God, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are not defeated. We're not run over. We're not ruled over roughshod.
Thank you, Jesus.
That angel took the devil. Throwed him into the pit.
Thank you, God.
Put binders on him.
Thank you, God.
In other words, devil, you got to stay here for 1,000 years.
Come on, amen, brother.
All the crowd,
come on.
Christ rejectors, ungodly,
stand
before him and are judged. And whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the same devil's hell with the devil. 21 and 22 cares to sing to eternity. No devil. Jesus on the throne.
Yes, sir.
The church, righteous.
That's right.
Clothed, white raiment.
Yes.
The ransomed of God.
Yeah.
Forever. and forever and forever.
Amen, brother.
Now we close.
That's right, brother.
Back again to Revelation chapter 10. Why did God, what was the full intent of a little book opened? The intent was simply this, that everyone that names the name of Christ become the custodian of the message of redemption. Everyone. We try to put it all a fivefold ministry. That's for the perfecting of the saints. I'm telling you, but the saints are called and anointed of God to carry the message of redemption to an otherwise hopeless world. Oh, God, have mercy on the souls of men. May they all repent. May every church have revival. I used to get angry to go by one Baptist church. They'd have a big crowd. I'd go, oh, my goodness.
Come on, brother.
I don't make me angry anymore. I have a sadness. But I've also discovered they haven't revived. I mean, real thing happened. Being born again.
Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Do you know that the Southern Baptists in conference declared that we have been wrong concerning the baptism of the Holy Ghost?
There you go. There you go. About time.
Come on, brother.
Amen.
I don't know how far it's going to reach.
Right, brother. Right.
Hallelujah.
Lo and behold, Southern Baptist Church called me for a revival.
Come on, brother. Amen.
I said, do you know I am a Pentecostal?
Amen, brother.
And not in just word, I experience Pentecost. I am tongue-talking.
Amen.
And Brother Blevin said to me, you're exactly what we need.
Amen.
His brother was a ordained Southern Baptist preacher in Africa. Been there for 15, 20 years. And Brother Blevin said, I called my brother and told him that I'm going to get us a Pentecostal preacher. And my brother's called a plane. He's going to land.
Come on, brother. Amen, brother.
And be forever meeting.
Amen.
He said, and my brother confessed to me. I thought, well, we're going to get into confession. It's going to be bad. He said, what are you confessing to your brother about? He said, in Africa, he said, we taught a series on spirituality. And he said, somewhere in the midst of that series, he said, something happened. It moved out of the arena of a man. And he said, brother, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the physical evidence of speaking in other tongues. I got to that Baptist church. Man, we had church. They were having a Jericho march. Especially, they had about nearly 100 women, all of them walking around that church, holding on to the back of the dresses. I was in the spirit, having the time. I'm enjoying God.
Amen, brother.
I started to get in that line.
Come on.
With 100 Baptist women holding each other's dress. And I reached out and caught myself just in time.
Amen, brother. Come
on. It wouldn't be decent for the evangelist to hold a woman's dress. We just had church.
Glory.
It's happening all over the world. Not only the Baptists.
Come on, brother.
We just finished the church. Biggest church I ever built. Somebody gave me the money. We built it in the Philippines, the city of Artaveta. 1,000-seat sanctuary. 2 weeks ago, the pastor called and said, we run out of room.
Come on.
We added another facility, a 400-seat capability. I'm talking about a can-do God.
Come on, brother. Amen, brother. Amen, brother.
I'm talking about people loving Jesus,
alive
to Christ.
Glory. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
When I agreed with Pastor Lynn Joe to build the church for 1,000 seats, I remembered before he even asked me. I was coming south of Artaneta on the MacArthur Highway towards the city of the Alices. I know you know right where I'm talking about. And they were selling a chicken fighting barn. It was a seat 500 people. I mean, chicken fighting is big in that part of the world. And they were going to build them a bigger chicken fighting barn. I said, I'd be satisfied to have the little building. Not to fight chickens, but to fight devils and redeem a fallen Adam's race. And I was riding, sitting beside my chauffeur, Dr. Loretto Somarine. He's 87 years old now. And I said, Dr. Somarine, wouldn't it be wonderful if we would buy that chicken fighting barn, convert it into a church? That facility was, man, that's bigger than anything I've tried to build. We had just built 14 churches among the Negrito tribes. $600 a church. If we bought a chainsaw and they would cut the lumber out of the jungle. We built them 14 churches. Then I looked over there, Dr. Somarine coming back on the main island, Luzon. Wouldn't it be wonderful? We just bought that chicken fighting barn. We'd have a church seat 500. It's not well to laugh at a fellow. But Dr. Somarine, he laughed so hard and so much, he had tears running out of his eyes. He said, Dr. Tubbs, we strived over 2 years to build the churches in the Negrito villages. $600 a church. And they'll probably want $100,000 for that chicken fighting barn. When you struggle to pay $600, I shut up. I didn't say another word. When we went past Artaneta, come up to the rice field on the west side of the road, I looked off that way on down that rice field, and I heard the Lord speak.
Come on, brother.
He said, son, if you will be obedient to me,
Come on, brother.
You will be used to build a church that will seat over 1,000 souls on that rice field.
Praise God.
30 years later.
Amen.
30 years. We get aggravated if God don't answer it yesterday.
Come on, brother.
30 years later, we had built a small church. It would seat 150 people on that rice field. I never told Judy, I never told nobody about what God spoke to me about 30 years earlier. We went over to that little church. Pastor Glenn Joe, pastor, to dedicate it. And we had spent $8,000 to build it. And Brother Lynn Joe, he kept us so all the way through all the service. We shouted, we jumped,
amen, brother.
We praised God for the building.
Amen.
And Lynn Joe told me, Brother Talbert, I got some bad news for you. The Philippine government, you're going to put a highway through this thing.
No.
Right through the middle of this church. I said, surely not. He said, yes, sir. Right through the middle of it. And he's smiling from ear to ear. I said, you can smile.
Come on.
But I can't go back to the United States and tell the people that we squandered
$8,000. Right, brother. You're right, brother. You're right.
He's looked at me and he said, Brother Talbert, you're too easily upset.
Come on, brother. Oh, Lord.
Can you imagine a national Filipino telling me that?
Oh, God.
I have a solution to clarify his doctrine. Oh. I just quit sending money. Rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. He looked at me and said, Brother Tubb, my wife, Rebecca, just inherited 8 acres, hectares, right on the side of where that super highway is to be built. In other words, Brother Talbert, for less than $150,000, we can build a 1,000-seat sanctuary. We're going to do it.
Amen, brother.
There you go. And I shouted,
amen.
Talked in tongues. 2 years earlier, a man gave me $150,000 and said, whatever you do, don't spend it on yourself. Don't buy cars. This is for church. 30 years earlier, God said, you'll be faithful. I'll use you to build a church.
Amen.
30 years later, 2 years before 30 years come up, somebody give me the money.
Amen.
And I tried my level best to build something at the Baghdad, Florida. Where I own the land. And everywhere I turned, it was no.
That was it.
County missioners. No. There ain't going to be no church on it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The interchange at Baghdad. I said, we'll see. And I went to the Philippines, and lo and behold, talking to Brother Lynn Joe, he said, I can build that church for less than $100,000. It'll seat 1,000 people. It's my turn to talk in tongues. I had the money in the bank account, and I couldn't spend it if I'm going to live in obedience. I grabbed Brother Lynn Joe by around the neck, shouted a while, cried a little bit. And I said, we will build. I have the money.
Come on.
He said, how much? I said, all of it.
Amen, brother.
I got it in cash.
Amen.
When I get back to States, send it on return mail. Do you know in 4 months we went from a building that would seat probably 100, maybe 180 people to bulldozing down and pushing up and getting the foundation ready for a 1,000-seat sanctuary? Do you know in 4 months we built that church complete? Talking about a can-do God. And now, yesterday, or the last week, I got talking to Brother Lynn Joe again. He said, we ain't got no room. He said, for about, I think it was $20,000+, we could add 400 more seats. I said, let's build.
Amen, brother.
At the same time, Sister Reyes, the wife of Brother Reyes, head of School of Christ out of Beaumont, Texas, he died as a young man, 48 years old. She come to me, got a beautiful church we built for her back several years ago, and complained that they don't have nowhere to park and don't have enough people, enough seating for the people. I said, well, let's build. She cried and shouted and said, I've already got the lot picked out. I just ain't got the money. I said, I got the money.
Amen.
Why keep it in your pocket? If God gave it to the
bishop.
Hallelujah. Do you know we built that church? It's finished. 600 or 700 more. I'm talking about a can-do God.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Don't get discouraged, church.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory.
Remember, the angel delivered the open book.
That's what it said. That's right.
And God said, John, you can talk about me among all the nations and kingdoms of the earth.
Amen.
I'm telling you, our God's in control. Would you stand to your feet all over the house?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. All right.
I've done committed one of the no-dos of a Pentecostal preacher. That no-no is, you preached too long. You preached slap out from under the umbrella of the anointing. Church, this time next year, we liable to be in heaven. By this time tomorrow,
come on, brother.
We liable to be in heaven.
That's right, brother. That's right.
I don't know when he's coming, but I do know he is coming. He is coming unto them that look for him. He shall appear without sin unto salvation eternal. Hallelujah. We are somebody special. We're made special by the blood of the Lamb. Heavenly Father, I pray for every family represented under the sound of my voice. I pray over every need that was spoken here tonight. Lord God, minister grace, mercy, touch lives, strengthen bodies, heal sick bodies, lift up the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I pray. I scanned over this audience, most likely everybody in this house is born again.
Praise God.
But peradventure there is somebody here that's not saved. You need to get saved. You don't need to put it off. You don't need to wait till a more convenient day. You need to get saved. Jesus come by this night to save you. To you that are saved, he came by to lift you up, to encourage you in his grace. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know without a shadow of doubt if he comes or if you hasten into eternity that you are ready? You are ready. How can I know I'm ready? Apply the blood by faith to your soul. Whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. God bless you. Turn around, somebody. Shake somebody's hand. Look somebody right in the eye. Tell them. Love you. The love of Jesus. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Joe, for the opportunity.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Good to see you.
Early Jesus is calling all to you and me.